present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Michael Palin in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists if they can talk for 60 seconds on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. We'll begin the show this week with Clement Freud. And Clement, the subject that Ian Messer has brought along to start the show is spanker. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The spanker, apart from being a gold coin, which is now illegal to possess other than museums or collections, is a sail on a boat. And it's called a spanker because when the wind is inconsiderable...
Michael Palin is challenged.
Hesitation?
Yes, I would agree, yes. Michael. So you get a point for a correct challenge, and there are 46 seconds left for spanker starting now.
Spanker was the name given to Monsieur Lapointe, our French master at school. His particular penchant was, at the end of a lesson when boys had forgotten their words or muddled up their phrase books, he was to take them outside and apply the cane. He got this...
Peter Jones.
A repetition of Actually, I'm very glad you got me out of that one. I was getting dangerous.
Very good challenge, Peter, yeah. And a point for that, and you take over the subject with 29 seconds left. Spanker starting now.
Actually, it was the name of a favorite dog of mine, a delightful spaniel, brown with sad, tearful eyes. And he was given that particular...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitate.
Yes. Uh-huh. Clement, spanker's back with you, and there are 17 seconds left starting now.
The sort of noise which is more generally connected with that made.
Michael Palin.
Hesitate.
Yes, I agree with that one, too. Oh. There are 13 seconds left, Michael. You've got another point as well, of course, for spanker with you starting now.
Spanker Lapointe's other preoccupation.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of Lapointe.
Oh, yes.
Yes, sorry. Peter, you have the subject again.
Lapointe, yes. You was a lady. How many minutes left?
You have 11 minutes.
Ah, yes.
And you start now.
This little canine friend used to bang his tail against my bottom when I was a very small boy. And so, consequently, we interpreted it.
Well, the whistle tells us that 60 seconds is up, and as you know, whoever's speaking at that moment gains an extra point. This occasion it was Peter Jones, who's in a strong lead at the end of that round. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round, please? The subject is maxims. Nice to hear from you this week. Would you talk about maxims in just a minute, starting now?
Yes, maxims are lies, and at any rate, certainly misleading. Watched kettles do boil, and rolling stones have been known to gather moss, and there is as much hope for you at 60 as there was at 16, for you to open windows which have been nailed shut for years, to let love in and light in and air in.
And Clement Freud has challenged.
What's the matter?
You're letting too much in. And Clement challenged first, and he has 29 seconds on maxims, starting now.
If you go towards the Arc de Triomphe, turn left, and come down the hill, on the right-hand side, you will find an absolutely smashing restaurant called Maxims, which has been there for many years, and the settees and banquettes have red velvet, which the oysters, the champagne, the grouse flown over specially on the 12th of August from Scotland do not have. I've always found it the restaurant most...
Peter Jones's challenge.
A repetition of restaurant.
Yes. And you have literally half a second on Maxim's starting now.
Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes.
So Peter Jones got in very cleverly just before the 60 seconds, so speaking again when the whistle went has increased his lead at the end of the round. Michael Palin, will you begin the next round, please? And the subject is my last driving lesson. Would you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
My last driving lesson took place in Sheffield. I remember it was on a busy street called the Moor. My driving instructor, Mr. Monaghan, an Irishman with riveting eyes, showed me the way to go down the moor to the roundabout at the end. As we were approaching this part of the road, a large lorry, driven by a small old lady, appeared from the left. As she passed us, this woman threw a core boot in our direction. It hit the underside of the car, stuck in the carburetor, and there was an enormous explosion. This obviously meant that I was down on points. The next thing I did wrong was to turn left into a right-hand junction and hit a sheep, one of a large flock that was being shown down on a...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Hesitation. Oh.
Yes, I think you're right
it
about that.
Panic, yes, panic.
Clement. What was the core boot?
A core boot.
What is a core boot?
A boot worn by people in the core.
You had to have gone to an English public school to have been in the corps, you see, and have a corps boot. Obviously, old ladies who drive lorries in Sheffield have an abundance of them in the back of the car.
It's a violent city. They have to defend themselves.
So, there are 16 seconds for you, Clement, having got a correct challenge on my last driving lesson starting now.
My last driving lesson was in the army when I was asked to take 14 German prisoners of war back to a barracks and explained to my instructor that I hadn't passed a test, to which he replied, "It'll serve them right."
That seemed a good moment to blow the whistle, and Clement Freud was just speaking at that moment. He's gained that extra point, but he's still 1 point behind Peter Jones, our leader. Peter, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is a visit to the oculist. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I went to one only a few months ago, and he said, "Sit down and look at this."
Kenneth Williams.
I think it was a hesitation.
Yes, it was, yes.
53 seconds, starting now.
I was asked to read from this card various things written in black and white block lettering, and I did very well.
Clement Freud, a chance.
Deviation. What? They weren't written in black and white lettering. They were written in black lettering.
Oh, yes, some of it was white on black, and some was black on white background.
No.
Oh, yes, it was. My oculists were two kinds.
Well, I don't know.
Yes, they most definitely were. Yes, you all agree with me, don't you?
No.
Thank you very much. No. Lovely.
Yes. He's only a spare time oculist. The rest of the time he works for George Mitchell.
All right, so the audience feel you should have the benefit of the doubt, and so, Kenneth, you keep the subject, and there are 47 seconds left. A visit to the oculist starting now.
I say, well, what do you think? How can you judge my sight? He said, words...
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation.
Your words did fail him, didn't it?
I was trying to say words.
Clement.
What's that expression, words?
Fail me.
Fail me, then! Of course they did fail me, didn't they?
What an idiot. Lovely.
So Kenneth has now kissed Clement Freud, and Clement's going to try after that to continue with 40 seconds on a visit to the oculist, starting...
I think the most embarrassing thing when I went to an oculist was coming into the shop and being asked by the assistant whether I wanted streaky or short-back bacon. And I realized...
Michael Penn has challenged.
It was a hesitation after bacon.
I disagree about the hesitation, and he was probably going to qualify the streaky bacon in the oculist. And so there are 30 seconds for you, Clement, to continue on a visit to the oculist starting now.
To which the chap behind the counter said, "You want next door the oculist." I realized then that, thanks to hypermetropia, with just a touch of myopia, the astigmatism in my left eye had caused me to go into the wrong doorway, and I emerged...
Michael Penn and challenge.
Hesitation.
And there are 13 seconds, Michael, on a visit to the oculist, starting now.
On a recent visit to the oculist, I was told that perhaps I ought to have some contact lenses. I personally had been much in favour of having spectacles with large brown rims and double-thickness glass, which I'd be able to see, to read, and to see things at long distances.
So, Michael Palin, by the look on his face here, just managed to keep going till the whistle went and gained that extra point.
I couldn't see him.
And he's in third place. It's quite close. Peter Jones is in second place, one ahead. And Clement Freud for one further ahead in the lead. Clement, will you begin the next round? The subject is rhabdology. Will you talk about rhabdology in just a minute, starting now?
Rhabdology, unless I'm tremendously mistaken, which is always possible, is the art of divining water and is practiced by strange people who get twigs or bits of wood, ideally shaped like a catapult or a large letter Y, which they hold between the thumb and forefinger of each hand while they walk or traipse across a field or other terrain where there might be moisture, hoping and expecting it to rise in order to denote H2O or whatever it is they're looking for. I've never met a rhabdologist myself, although I have encountered a number of people who claim to have powers enabling them to discover mercury, salt, and ground black pepper. This from a man in Tunbridge Wells, whose name was Peter...
Michael Palin, sir.
Deviation?
Yes, he's got on to minerals and other things, and this chap in Tunbridge Wells, away from rhabdology. So I agree with the hesitation, and you have 7 seconds, Michael, on rhabdology, starting now.
Rhabdology, as we all know, is the science of collecting anything to do with Rab Butler. His tie, his trousers, his shoes, and parts of...
For those who are not sure, that is Michael Palin's type of rhabdology, but the correct one was the one Clement was talking about. Kenneth Williams, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Guercino. Would you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
A most delightful painter, and recently I went into the National Gallery and I had a look at that wonderful canvas called The Incredulity of Thomas. It also has 3 of his paintings, the Birmingham Gallery, and I went in there. I was most impressed because I thought the light, the way he uses light, you know, it just plays on the interior.
Yes, Michael.
Repetition of light.
There was too much light, I'm afraid, Kenneth. Guercino is with you now, Michael, and there are 39 seconds left starting now.
Guercino is a very difficult word for me to talk about, as I do not know the painter Guercino. Oh, I don't even know his name. But I do know a waiter of the same name who used to work at a restaurant behind Piccadilly, which is now being closed owing to certain unpleasant goings-on and pieces of core boots being found in the food. Guercino also is a type of dancing used in northern Afghanistan to scare away the evil spirits, which come down every time in the middle of the year, around about June or July, and kill off the crops and cause widespread flooding over the area. The Guercino dance used in this particular thing involves a man...
Clement Freud has chanced.
Repetition of dance.
Yes, it was a particular type of dance before. Clement, you've got in with only 2.5 seconds to go on Guercino, starting now.
Guercino, or the plural...
Well, it's a close contest with not a lot of points being scored. Clement Freud is still in the lead, and Michael Palin, your turn to begin. The subject is jellied eels. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
Jellied eels, which I keep in my core boots, are, as far as I know, a well-known Cockney delicacy. Though I once bought some jellied eels at a stall in Petticoat Lane. I ate them, and after about 14 minutes, I was suddenly, violently, incredibly ill. I was taken by the police to a nearby hospital, where I was taken to the jellied eels ward, where people suffering from Cockney-type poisoning are fed whelks and
Peter Jones,
the challenge. And,
repetition of Cockney.
Yes, you had Cockney before. Peter, you've got the subject now of jellied eels, and there are 31 seconds left, starting now.
One of Reg Varney's favourite dishes. And I once went with him to Church Street Market, where he bought these live eels wriggling about in a flat pan.
Kenneth Williams, the challenge.
Yes, the subject is jellied eels, not live eels.
Well, he jellied them
live.
Himself. I'm coming to that.
The subject is jellied eels.
But they've got to be alive before they can be jellied, haven't they? He's coming to it.
Might have been lightly jellied.
So, Peter, keep the subject, and you have 18 seconds left, starting now.
Writhing madly about in this pan.
We're still on live eels. They're supposed to be jelly eels.
Well, I'm trying to get to the jelly eels, you great fool.
He's trying to... That's right. Give him a bit of his own back, Peter. I agree with you. You're trying to get to the jelly eels part. They've got to be live before they can be slaughtered and jellied. There are... There are 20 seconds left. I was wrong before, but there were 23 before. There are now 20 seconds on Jelly Deal starting now.
And the vendor cut their heads off one by after the other. And...
the third account of live eels when the subject...
No, they're not. They've got their heads cut off now. We're getting gradually nearer.
Still alive after their heads are cut off.
Exactly. He's quite right.
I disagree. I think he was quite clearly telling us how these jellied eels arose from the first stages to the last, and he hadn't taken a long time doing it. So, Peter, you still have 15 seconds to talk about jellied eels starting now.
They didn't seem at all discouraged by being decapitated because they went on moving. Anyway, he took them home to Eltham, and there he boiled them in a huge saucepan, which had, I think, a bay leaf, a bit of parsley, and one or two odd things like that in it, until the liquid...
Although I was satisfied he was talking about how you jellified eels, I don't think he actually ever got to the point of jellifying them. But Peter, you kept going until the whistle went, and you have now taken the lead at the end of that round. And it's your turn to begin the next round. It is getting rich. Well, you're rich in points at the moment, but can you take the subject in just a minute, starting now?
Getting rich used to be an acceptable ambition when I was a small boy at school. But I'm pleased to say that since then, people's values have slightly improved. And after all, you're nearer God's heart to a garden than anywhere else on earth. And I think that is so terribly true. Although you may be drilling for oil in it, it doesn't really make
Michael
great...
Michael Palin challenge.
You can't challenge for incomprehension. I'm not sure about the nearer God's heart to the garden.
In the garden.
Deviation. Yeah. In the garden.
What's devious about that?
What is devious?
It was rather moving,
that?
I thought.
It was very lovely. What? Moved me several feet. And I wasn't quite sure where he was going.
I feel he was still on the subject, so he has another point. And there are 36 seconds left, Peter. Getting rich, starting now.
Or panning for gold, as I have done in the fields of Australia.
Kenneth Williams.
I'd like clarification on this. I mean, he says he was panning for gold in fields.
No, in the
yes,
fields.
Gold fields, you great nit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, don't it's very nice to say you great nit to someone of my distinction?
No, because you want to be... able to...
How can you be distinguished when you're on a show like this?
Oh, I'm
I know.
Peter, you still have the subject, and you have 30 seconds on getting rich starting now.
He must stoop who would pick up gold...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of gold.
Yes.
Yes, I did repeat gold, because I was interrupted, you see, and generally
I know, but
messed
you did
about.
Get a point for being interrupted, so
yes.
You have gained something, probably.
Yes, I mean, I never got the eels jellied, and I'm never likely to get the gold pound.
But you've
never
lost...
Never get anything completed in this show.
There are 26 seconds for you, Clement, to talk about getting rich starting now.
An uncommon but original way of getting rich... is to go to the Church Street Market and buy eels which you decapitate and take to...
Peter Jones, a chance.
He's just stealing my material. We don't want to hear all that again. Nobody enjoyed it very much the first time. And to hear it again...
Well, it might be different coming from Clement Freud. You never know. Anyway, well, he wasn't deviating from getting rich, so he keeps the subject with 18 seconds left, starting now.
And you ask your neighbours in and say... If you want me to get rich, come in and watch these extraordinary creeping...
Kenneth Williams.
I hesitate.
Yes, I quite agree. He was getting a bit lost there. Getting rich is with you, Kenneth, and there are 10 seconds left starting now.
The way to do this is to buy a share when it is absolutely rock bottom in the market. And
Peter
then
Jones
you will...
You can't do it by buying one share. You can't get... That wouldn't make you rich.
It would, by some people's standards. Mm. Not yours, perhaps. You'll be panning for gold in your back garden. Kenneth, I disagree with his challenge, so you keep the subject of getting rich, and there are 4 seconds left starting now.
The other way is to put something in your piggy.
And Clement Freud is done.
Repetition of way. It was one way, and this time it was the other way.
That's right. There was one way before, now you've got the other way, and Clement got in. 2.5 seconds, getting rich, Clement, starting now.
Poseidon on the stock market were a fair example of
yes.
How... So, Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went, and he's gained that extra point in an interesting situation with regard to the score. He's equal in the lead now with Peter Jones. They have 12 apiece. Michael Palin's in third place, way behind, and Kenneth just behind him. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is evolution. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
If you take a caterpillar and a butterfly, you have a fair example of evolution in that one has become what the other one used to be. But there are many books of a scientific nature written on this subject, none of which I have read, but most of which
Michael Palin.
Challenged myself for a bit.
Hesitation.
Evolution is the subject, Michael, and there are 40 seconds left with you starting now.
Evolution as a theory was first propounded by Charles Darwin, who, after a voyage around South America in the ship the Beagle...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so, Kenneth. And you have evolution now with 32 seconds left. Starting
what was the
now.
Subject?
Evolution. You haven't been paying attention up to now. Why do you want the subject? 32 seconds on evolution, Kenneth, starting now.
There are those that maintain we all come from animals, and I think it's perfectly disgusting. There is no relationship whatsoever when you look at someone like me and think of, say, an ape. Who would draw any kind?
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
Did any of you detect a hesitation?
No hesitation.
I don't think he hesitated.
I think he deviated because I think there is a similarity. But you didn't deviate, so you keep the subject, Kenneth. There's evolution, and there are 17 seconds left starting now.
It is the process by which the thing becomes from an inchoate or immanent quality to another form, and in the process, so many chemical constructions.
Michael Payne and Challenge.
Hesitation.
Well, I think he did drag it out to such an extent we could call it hesitation.
Yes.
So, Michael, you have a point for that. Three. The Michael Payne and fans are in again. There are four, 3 seconds on evolution with you starting now.
Evolution as a theory I find very easy to accept. Looking round me at the...
Oh, Michael Palin was speaking when the whistle went, gained that extra point. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject, momentum. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
If you take at the seaside a sand bucket and fill it with water from the ocean and then whirl it round your head, you will find, to your amazement, that the water will not come out.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of water.
Yes, the water that you got from the ocean came back again. Momentum is with you, Clement, and there are 47 seconds left starting now.
Momentum is rather like Eve O'Lucian, who was an Irish girl, the daughter of Adam O'Lucian, and the one I knew, the Mentum family, who lived in Esher, very near Sandown Park, and not all that far from Kempton, which is a race course I'm very fond of, had long brown hair down to her knees when she stooped on all fours. But really, it reached her shoulders and occasionally passed her ears on the way to the...
Peter Jones has challenged.
It doesn't seem to have anything to do with momentum. Implausible, to say the least.
It was implausible to say more than the least.
Yes.
But he didn't actually technically deviate, having established that momentum
didn't
was
technically deviate, this woman on all fours with all this air.
Obviously, momentum was a very strange creature. We'll see what further he can do in 17 seconds, Clement, starting now.
G, as anyone who knows about mathematics, is 32 feet per sec, repeat, which is...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition, repeat. He said per second or something, didn't he?
No, he didn't. He didn't repeat per second. He used the word repeat, so he wasn't being repetitious in the game.
Oh, I see.
So he keeps momentum, and there are 9 seconds left starting now.
When you go in for the long jump in the village sports, it is very essential to get as much momentum as you possibly can, because it isn't simply height.
Clement Freud's weird momentum gave him some points, and he got the extra one for speaking when the whistle went. He's increased his lead. Michael Palin, your turn to begin. The subject is Lear.
Lear is one of...
Best for me to say...
I'm just practising. Lear is one of...
Lear is one of...
All right, I've got it now.
Start now.
I always used to leer when people asked me if I'd ever seen one of Shakespeare's great tragedies, King Lear. As a matter of fact, I was in one of these shows when I was at university. And in a particular scene, I played a sentry who had to come on at a point bearing a sword. I went behind stage to collect my sword. Oh, dear. Repetition. Sorry.
Never mind.
I'm learning. And instead, the sword was not there. So I picked up the nearest thing to hand, which was a large piece of inner tube used in a bicycle. I rushed on, pushed past Goneril, knocked over Regan, who were both in Lear, and brandished the inner tube. It's...
Peter Jones is challenged.
Repetition of inner tube.
Peter, you have Lear now, and you have 20 seconds to talk about it, starting now.
One of the great, supreme tragedies that has ever been written. And Shakespeare brought this very ancient ruler onto the stage at the very beginning of this smash hit show in the Elizabethan period. And, of course, it was played later by Keane, by Garrick.
We have no more time for just a minute, so it is my duty now to wind up and tell you what the final score was. Well, it's very interesting. Kenneth Williams was in fourth place, a little way behind Michael Palin, who came back and did very well. He finished third again. But Peter Jones and Clement Freud battled it out to the end. But at the last moment, Clement Freud, with 1 point, became our winner this week. Hope you have enjoyed listening to Just a Minute and will want to tune in again next week, the same time. We'll be on the air and we'll be playing Just a Minute. We hope you'll enjoy it. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.